Benji Timu is a videographer by trade, entrepreneur, a brilliant storyteller, as well as a visual content maker. He's one of the creators and executive directors of No6, a multi-platform digital media brand curating, developing, and connecting young content creators from the South Pacific to global audiences. Benji is also of Samoan, Cook Island, and Niuean descent, and he is on the line with us. Talofa lava, Benji, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
You are absolutely welcome. Oh boy, with that background, your family could have their own triennial tournament between three island groups. But today we are going to be focusing about your Samoan family. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I was born in New Zealand, brought up with my Samoan family, sort of oscillating between my Aitutaki and Mangaian family. So I'm half bit of both. Grew up with my grandmother who couldn't speak English, so I had to speak to her in Samoan, you know, and then go to school and speak English. And then it wasn't until, I guess, I went through primary school and high school that I lost a little bit of that language, only because, you know, we're kind of taught that, you know, English is the way to be, just to make it. But, like, you sort of realize when you're a little bit older that, you know, this is probably one of your best gifts to have is your language, your mother tongue.
And have you been able to revive your knowledge of Tangangana?
Yeah. So I was taking classes a couple of years ago just to revive it and to, I guess, like, speak it and type it out as much as I can in terms of communication. But yeah, I feel like it's a journey in my lifetime to become fluent.
Very fortunate to have had that grounding from your grandmother. How old was she how old were you when she passed?
I was about 22, I think. Can't remember. So it was like quite recent. But I grew up with her when I was a kid, and then I was mostly home for high school and university, so I hardly ever saw her. And at home, we spoke English.
Yes, but when you did see her, you would have had to try and remember all of your Samoan, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was funny because my grandma always had this, like, face when she'd look at me going, eh? Look at me going, eh?
Videography. Tell me how you got into to becoming a videographer.
Yeah, sure. So my background's actually in architecture. So from high school, I went and got my degree and my master's in architecture. And then during my final year of my master's, I picked up a camera for the first time, which is about 3-4 years ago. And then I fell in love with it. I left my dream job of being in an architecture firm, and then I just went all in, created a company with a couple of mates, specifically focusing on telling Polynesian stories and reclaiming that narrative back to us as having that power to tell that story.
What was it about the power of the camera to tell the story that pulled you in and away from architecture?
Yeah. Architecture has too many rules you need to obey. And I love the having no limitations in the way that you express your art. Architecture, you know, in a way, it has its own beauty of creativity. But if that was with a camera, anybody could become a storyteller. And I guess that really is the goal for me as well, is trying to enable more storytellers, especially, you know, brown faces, telling our own stories, which is really like a passion of mine.
I guess that also had something to do with the fact that what you saw on television were not too brown in terms of the faces that you saw.
100%. So the guy that I started No Six with, that was one of our initial mutual takings from trying to become conscious on what our image is on the TV. And so, you know, we used to watch Police Scene 7, and we always saw brown faces on Police Scene 7, but we didn't see brown faces telling stories that, you know, were actually true. It was always cherry-picking at, like, things that, you know, painted a really dark picture of us. And so, you know, we took the power back while we're in the process of taking that power back and creating our own content, telling stories that, you know, that is true, essentially.
No Six, an interesting name. How did you come up with a name like No Six?
Yeah, so it's always hard to explain it over the phone. So, okay. If you look at the numbers 3, 4, 5, 7, it looks like the word East. So 3 looks like an E, 4 looks like the A, 5 looks like the S, 7 looks like the T. Are you still with me?
Yes, absolutely.
And within that, and we are from East Auckland, so we're proud East Aucklanders. And if you look at the sequence 3, 4, 5, 7, there's a 6 missing. So therefore, No Six.
Oh, you clever, clever boys. Oh, my goodness. But it's just that every time someone asks you, you have to go through this explanation. It's your only problem.
Exactly.
I thought it had something to do with cricket, and you guys were so bad that as a cricket team, none of you could bat, and you never got a 6.
Well, we initially were supposed to be Eastside Media Club. That was our first name, but then there were the connotations attached to the word Eastside, because it implies that, you know, we're going against South, we're going against North, but that wasn't our goal. Our goal was to bring everybody together, you know, bring all Polynesian people together, but at the same time simultaneously representing where we were born, which is in the east side of Auckland. So we flipped that and called it No Six. People don't even think of it.
Yeah, you cryptic guys, you. Well done. Good name. And it comes from a really good space, that you're not saying, we are East. You are saying East, but, you know, we're open to the West and everywhere else. Fantastic. Your journey to discover your Samoan side, or to reclaim more of that. Could you tell us about that journey and where that got you in October last year?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I recently became a Somaimiki last year, around about August. And I guess for me that was an attempt of reclaiming that were pre-colonial to us. And as a Samoan, I feel so proud that we took and we preserved so much of our culture, despite all the, you know, the colonization that had come through. You know, you had Germany, you had America, you had New Zealand trying to take over Samoa and outlaw, you know, the Te Tau. But, you know, despite all of that, we managed to preserve it. And now we're like, I guess, like one of the strongest, you know, like people in terms of like continuing this practice. And so I saw this journey as a marker of my journey of reclaiming my language, continuing on with the culture. Because I hear this, you know, the saying, ga mō mōle ngoko, and we all hear that when people talk about, you know, becoming a Somaimiki. But I also feel like there is no summit, there is no top of the mountain of like, I've made it, I've understood the cultures, because I feel like it's a lifelong journey. And so simply becoming a Somaimiki is a marker of the mountain that never reaches a summit.
I love that philosophy, because it's probably something I will talk with Sao Noa Mali'i with this later on in the program. but that whole concept of how Samoan can you be? Because I can talk Samoan fluently, but on the continuum of Samoan-ness, I am nowhere near that apex. So if you're talking about tattooing your mouth first, in other words, learn the language first, even I would not feel worthy of that. But the fact that it symbolizes your wish to maintain who you are and signify who you are in the body. You see, in many respects, you are more Samoan. How do you define Samoan? Do you define by how Samoan you speak or whether you have a tattoo? And if you look at it, look at the two of us visually, you would be more Samoan than me without saying anything because of your stance to take a painful journey there. And me, by circumstance, just happened to grow up with parents who were tight in the Samoa. So, you know, what makes you less Samoan than me when you've got a tattoo and I haven't? So, yeah, all part of that wider discussion about what it is to be a Samoan. This aim of yours to take our content out into the world, it must be getting easier now. YouTube and Facebook Live, these things that used to cost thousands of dollars for us to try and get out into the world, now we can do it easily. But I guess it's the quality, and that is where you guys, No6, come in.
And I think it's a really important thing to also pinpoint, which is the power of storytelling through the cameras isn't in the hands of those with money like it was in the 90s or the 80s, because we all have access to cameras to some degree. We all have our own phones. Cameras aren't, you know, you can get a camera for like $200, and it's so disposable at this point that anybody can tell a story. So I love that the platform of storytelling has been liberated through that process of like technology advancement, especially over the last 10, 20 years.
Are there any particular projects you've worked on that people can access, or are you still working on content at the moment? And how can people get a hold of No6? Is it an open organization or?
Yeah. So we're a platform, and we make content for organizations, preferably organizations that are socially conscious. So they have to have sort of that of the project. We've got a lot of content on our Facebook page, so you can check it out on Facebook, No6. I've made a documentary on my journey of becoming a Maniki from, you know, before getting tapped to the last tap. And that was actually supposed to premiere 2 months ago, but due to the COVID, the film festival was cancelled. So I'm still holding on to that film, and I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to show that film, because I would really, really love to show it. But my goal for me is to, I want to go to Hollywood, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, the most efficient way for me to get there.
Wow. What is the name of the film?
The Tales of Diaspora.
And it is about your journey of discovery, and also your leading you to do the tattooing. What sort of a film crew did you have documented that?
Yeah, good question. So I had me as a director while I was on the mat getting card. And then I had my mate recording me. So I edited the whole thing. I just got my mate to record me while I was on the mat.
Wow. Who are some of the filmmakers that you really look up to and that you would like to emulate?
So definitely Stallone. He's on Three Wise Cousins, the Tinker K just recently, which I had an honor to jump on board as one of the members of the behind the camera. Taika Waititi, definitely somebody who epitomizes the successes of a filmmaker from, like, you know, small rural town in Aotearoa, and then now he's on the big stage. So for me, he pretty much is my north point. And between where I am right now and where Taika is, it's just figuring out how to get there. And for me, it's a life journey. Yeah. If I achieve that next year, then the goal wasn't big enough. You know what I mean? So that's why I say Hollywood, because it becomes like a 20-year, 30-year journey. Might be shorter. Who knows?
And in terms of your film, the film festival was cancelled. Is the film festival going to happen again, or are you looking at other film festivals?
Looking at other film festivals, but it's quite a tricky situation because no one really knows what the end of the year is going to look like, or the rest of the year is going to look like. So it's just keeping an ear out and an eye out for festivals coming up. I'd love to get it over to Australia. And also to Canada, I hope, at the end of this year, if the borders open.
And have you shown it to family, to close friends? And
yep.
What has their reaction been?
Speechless, eh? Speechless, really.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'd rather people watch it.
Yes. And I'm not sure what it's like to be a filmmaker, but you know, you're also always looking to improve and improve and improve. And it's like an artwork, like a painting. When do you finish a painting? You know, do you still look at it now and think, oh, I wish I could have got that shot. I wish I could have got that shot.
Yeah, 100% all the time. And I guess it's the beauty of film too, because there is no limitations. And, you know, there's a billion and one ways of portraying or expressing an idea through film. And so when you watch it, there's always something to improve on. I guess that's the exciting bit of the process of learning your craft as well.
Well, Benji Timu, videographer, entrepreneur, storyteller and visual content maker, I certainly am excited about seeing the film when it does come out. Do keep us in touch, and we'll look forward to talking with you again in the future.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
You are absolutely welcome.